This is the Internet Governance public session on March 10th, 2016, in the Atlas Room from 9 a.m. to 10:15 a.m.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The session will begin in a couple of minutes. Could I really, I mean, I know some of you are very shy at the back here, but could we ask people to move forward? Is it possible to come into the front area? Because when we count the number of people here, you know, we don't get paid if we don't get enough people. So so if you could come in this front area, because there's going to be quite a few questions to the participants. Thank you so much. It's always difficult to hold a session on the last Thursday morning when there's other things happening and people have been at the gala too late and in the bar and celebrating. And I did try and make it rain so people would have an incentive to come inside, but it didn't work. You want to give it one more minute, and up to you. Why? When you say count, you mean the actual time? I'll ask if they can. Yeah. In the front, you know, the red clock with the
that guy.
That, you know, the red clock in front of the chair.
Yes.
That's a sort of countdown clock, is it? But
it can be a countdown clock.
Can it display the real time?
It can.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Let me get the power supply.
Because she should be. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks so much. No, it's no rush. Yeah. Well, I think I'll move over here. Well, no, I'll probably sit at the end. Yeah, we'll come and sit down front. I'll close the door.
You might say what the session is.
For the what?
This session.
All right. Is. What, in case people have... Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin. This is the cross-community working group on internet governance, public internet governance session. So if you're here for that, that's fantastic. If you're here for something else, that's equally fantastic. And I'll hand over to our chair.
Thank you very much, Nigel. Good morning, everyone. This is Marília Maciel speaking, and we are about to start a public session of the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance. This session has been organized by the members of the Cross-Community Working Group with the invaluable support of ICANN staff, and I would like to particularly thank Nigel Hickson for all the support he has given to the work of the members of this working group. And this session has become very traditional in our ICANN schedule by far. I think this has become a very important moment for us to share information about important developments in the internet governance ecosystem, to assess them, and to discuss how ICANN will be impacted by what is going on outside ICANN in this ecosystem, and maybe inform the organization on how to better navigate these waters. And I think that maybe for ICANN board, ICANN CEO, ICANN staff, it has also become a moment for them to understand what are the concerns of the community when it comes to internet governance. We know that staff and ICANN board, they are called many times to represent ICANN in meetings, in forums that take place elsewhere, and it's very important that they hear the community and the positions of the community so they can voice these positions outside ICANN on internet governance matters. So I believe that this session has become very useful to all of us. So without further ado, I would like to walk you through the agenda that we have today. This session will be divided into two parts. The first one will be devoted to a discussion on the WSIS Plus 10 review process. We will look at the WSIS Plus 10 and discuss the outcomes of the review. What can we expect for the future? For this part of the session, we will count on the participation of Ambassador Benedito Fonseca from the Ministry of External Relations of Brazil, Mr. Peter Major, Special Advisor for IT of the Government of Hungary, and also Chairman of the UN Commission on Science and Technology for Development. And we will count on Mr. Changetai Masango, who works for the IGF Secretariat. The second part of the session today will be dedicated to discuss a topic that has been in the agenda and has concerned many of us, which is fragmentation. So we'll discuss the interplay between fragmentation of the internet and openness. There's a very interesting report that has been published about this recently, and we have the luck to have one of the authors of the report, Mr. Bill Drake, to discuss this report with us. We will be joined later by Patrick Falstrom, Chair of ESAC. He's in another meeting, but he will be here with us soon. And we will also count on the presence of Mr. İhsan Durdu, advisor to the Ministry of Turkey Ministry of Transport and Communications, and GAC representative from the government of Turkey. So this is the topics that we are going to discuss today. But before we enter our first agenda item, there was a GAC high-level meeting that took place a few days ago, and we will hear a brief report about what was discussed in this meeting from Mr. Redouan Husseini, who is head of the United Nations Department and works for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Cooperation of the Kingdom of Morocco. Mr. Redouan?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry.
Thank you very much. Bonjour.
Hello.
Co-chair for this opportunity and for the invitation. Much appreciated. I prefer to speak in French. I hope that translation is ready. Donc, merci de m'avoir.
Thank you so much for having invited me to present how our high-level government meeting went about. And as you all know, that meeting was held on March 7th, right after the official opening ceremony of the ICANN 55. But before anything, I would like to bring back to your minds the youth of this meeting. I would just like to touch on this to explain you what the background to this high-level government meeting is. As you know, the first of these high-level government meetings was organized in Toronto in 2012. The second was held in London in June 2014. And this meeting at Marrakesh was the third. The concept of these high-level government meetings came about as a result of a recommendation that was made by the special meet team in charge of the first accountability and transparency review of the ICANN. It's a team called ATRT. And this ATRT team recommended the ICANN board to hold these sort of meetings in order to increase the governmental engagement at ICANN. And they were also asked to support governments within the environment of ICANN, which is why we needed to start this process to see how ICANN could interact with the main high responsibles and the heads of government in order to discuss public policy with them. The Marrakesh meeting, then, is a part of this process and is a part of the implementation of that recommendation. The meeting was chaired by Minister El Alami, whom you have all met. He is the Minister of Commerce, Industry and Digital Economy in Morocco. Now, as to the program, I'd say the schedule was related to the context of our meeting, as was the case in London in 2014, given that the London meeting came right after the announcement by the American administration that they would start the INA transition process. And the Marrakesh meeting is then inscribed within the context of the end of the process. So our schedule was related to the context, and we wished to reflect through our agenda the contents of certain strategic matters that had been under discussion within ICANN and specifically at the GAC. The agenda, which you probably followed, was divided into four items, the first two of which dealt with the discussions that had been going on in Marrakesh throughout the week. So they were related to the INA transition and to the submission of the results that had come about at the end of our deliberations. And the second session, the second item in the agenda, was related to the enhancement of ICANN's accountability and to the new role of governments within the context. The two other items in the agenda were equally important since they dealt with public policy as related to the new GTLDs, and the last item was related to how to enhance the capability of developing countries to further engage and to participate actively at ICANN's debates. We were then able to see that there are many governments here in ICANN who participate, and there was one session that was specifically related to the matter to explain the governments from developing countries what ICANN did and how they could participate actively in the ongoing debates. After that, there was a closing session which allowed the minister to present his summary since he had chaired the meeting. It wasn't a summary of the negotiations that had been going on throughout the meeting, but rather a report that summed up the debates which had been distributed under the sole responsibility of the meeting's chair. Minister El Alami further announced to the ministers that in a few weeks he will be submitting his personal reports on the work undertaken at that meeting, and that report will be published on the ICANN website. So may I remind you that the meeting was held publicly. It was open to all communities, not only to governments, but also to the other communities. And so it was broadcasted throughout the world, and the minister wished for it to be that way. If you will allow me, I would like to come back to the last item on the host country's appreciations on the development of that meeting. So that is Morocco's appreciation of the meeting. The meeting carried out its objectives, given that the meeting gave us the chance to expose and to present to the ministers what the dynamics of a GAC meeting is, what ICANN does, what ICANN is, and specifically what the deliberations at the GAC are like, how they work. We realized at that meeting that certain governments wondered what ICANN is, what the GAC does. And so that meeting precisely allowed us as GAC representatives to justify our travel, which sometimes brings us far out into the world three times a year, and to represent what the nature of our discussions is. So that is the main goal that we reached. Regarding this goal, we also fulfilled another part, because given that there was so much participation here throughout the past few days, we had 185 participants at the high-level government meeting. 97 countries participated, 97 governments were represented, and 22 intergovernmental organizations were also represented there. So you see that there was much participation at the meeting. We had 35 ministers, which represents a record, even vis-à-vis the London meeting. And among those 35, there were also over 4 countries that are not currently GAC members, meaning that our outreach efforts in order to engage and involve a maximum of governments into the process gave its fruits. So I think the purpose was precisely to prove that ICANN is an open organization and that we defend a model of inclusion, a model which is transparent and open. And I think you could see that today with the GACS communique. We have 162 members in the GAC, 162 member countries, which is much more than certain other organizations, even including the UN, which has currently 193 members. So you see all the efforts that we have put into our outreach activities and what the fruits they gave was. The host country worked very much. I was myself a member of the team that worked on the organization of the meeting, but there was also an international team that worked on the preparation of the ICANN meeting and specifically on the preparation of the high-level government meeting. We sent over 190 invites through the diplomatic channels, through Moroccan embassies and all our offices throughout the world, our consulates too. So we did a lot of work before the Marrakesh meeting, and I see the results are here. They are clear to us all. The format followed in the meeting allowed us to fulfill our goal, which was to have an important number of delegations participate at the meeting and to be able to listen to what their perspectives were throughout the 4 sessions. We had set it upon ourselves to be interactive among ministers and among ICANN responsibles too, among ICANN officials. So there was a part of ministerial statements which sometimes couldn't allow a minister to come here to Marrakesh without making a statement. But I think ministers were very specific in saying what their statements meant. And Minister El Alami clearly marked the 3-minute mark for their interventions, because having a single day to speak of all these 4 subjects was a clear constraint, a clear restraint for the Moroccan government. So they managed the meeting very well. I'm now going to discuss with you the development of the agenda. As I said before, the agenda was related to the discussions that had been going on at ICANN. We had the transition, which was at the heart of our discussions, not only within the GAC, but also with other constituencies. And we also had this matter of accountability. I started working on the basis of an inclusion approach by having an open discussion with the GAC members after the Buenos Aires meeting in the past June. But at the Dublin meeting, I also discussed the preliminary agenda with them, the draft agenda with them, and we held a number of calls which allowed GAC members to exchange. We also did so by email, and that allowed us to put together the agenda on the basis of this inclusive and open approach. The presence of ICANN officials at the meeting also allowed us to convey our message to ICANN representatives who attended the meeting together with us throughout the day. And so we discussed accountability, transparency, independence of ICANN, among others. And so to conclude, we had underlined the fact that there would be a new feature to the meeting, because we had introduced a possibility for past hosts to make a statement at the opening of the meeting. So we had the Canadian minister who had attended and hosted the first meeting, and Minister Ed Vasey, who also gave a speech to present what the road that we had walked together was and what the purposes of the high-level government meetings were. I think I have no time left. I'm going to stop here, and if you have any questions for me, I'll be here to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Redwan, for this very comprehensive review of what happened in the meeting. And I think that the high-level meeting has become a very important moment for outreach and to raise awareness between other governments of the important role that ICANN has in the internet governance ecosystem. Having said that, let's pass to the first part of the session here, which will be dedicated to the WISIS review process. As we all know, the World Summit on the Information Society and the first phase happened in 2003-2005. Documents that have become references to the internet governance discussions have been approved then, mainly the Tunis agenda. And these documents, they have foreseen that a review should be conducted 10 years after the first phase. Many different international organizations and WISIS action line facilitators have become involved in this effort. Very interesting documents have been produced with regards to this review. And we would like to hear, I think, first of all, from Mr. Fonseca, his assessment of the outcomes of the review process and his views for the future. What are the next challenges? Thank you, Benedetto.
Thank you. Je voudrais tout d'abord...
I would firstly like to thank the representative of the Moroccan government for the report he has just given us. And in general terms, I would also like to thank him for having welcomed us so warmly at this meeting and thank him for the excellent preparation and the organization that allowed us to carry out our tasks here at ICANN 55. Thank you and congratulations.
Dear colleagues and friends, we think WISIS Plus 10 was an extraordinary meeting. I had the privilege and honor to participate in many of the preparatory phases for WISIS, particularly the UNESCO meeting back in 2013, the ITU process that converged to the high-level event in 2014, and all those processes and other processes as well involved extensive, broad consultations to stakeholders extending beyond government representatives. We should also recall there were inputs addressed directly to the New York process. IGF was also a very important actor in providing inputs, and I also had the opportunity to participate in our national or domestic preparations, which were also very extensive. So I think this is the first thing I'd like to highlight about WISIS Plus 10, because it was the convergence of many important processes that developed inputs for that. So it's not only what happened in New York, but also a sum up of very important developments that took place even starting 2 years before and even before that. The second point I'd like to highlight is that WISIS Plus 10 was an attempt to conciliate different cultures. When we say that, by saying that UNESCO, ITU, IGF, the national and regional bodies provided inputs, we are, of course, referring to different configurations, different cultures that were involved, and an attempt in the end to make sense of all this. For those who participated in the original WISIS back in 2003-2005, maybe this was already there, but certainly in the 10-year review with a lot more of complexity and many more actors than I'm confident that in regard to what took place 10 years ago. This is the second point. The third point is that the final result in our assessment was good. I think when we consider that just a few weeks before WISIS Plus 10, the New York December meeting, there was some doubts within the community and also within government whether it would be possible to achieve a final consensus outcome. There were some concerns that maybe the outcome of the WISIS Plus 10 process would lead to a clash of expectations. And I think that by having achieved a document that was largely embraced by all of us, governments and the wider community, we succeeded in reverting that, let's say, very negative mood. And even though maybe not all the differences were solved, I think when we work in a diplomatic format, we try to find language to avoid, to explicit some differences. So in spite of the fact that some differences persist, I think we have laid common ground for future work, and we expect very productive work. We have reaffirmed the validity of the WISIS framework coming from the two phases of the WISIS process, and I think in itself it's already an achievement because we are reaffirming that 10 years after all those concepts, that some of those were the result of a very able and extensive, complex world of craftsmanship, those are still provide us with a very good basis for work. I think this was also the result of some initial discussions, and I was present in all those preparatory meetings in New York. And at some point, we found it would be inappropriate to try to redefine, to rephrase the WISIS outcome documents. There were some very important discussions, but also some discussions that in the end showed us that it would lead us nowhere if we try to redefine what is multi-stakeholder, what is cybersecurity, the conditions under which those processes should flow. So we realized that the framework, with all the balance, all the notions that that have emanated from the WISIS outcome documents, still provide all of us with comfort in regard to how to proceed. So I think this is also very important. And of course, we also updated. We not only reaffirmed, but we updated in regard to some aspects. Particularly, there was a very strong feeling among us that we should link anything we'll do from now on, starting this year, with the new Sustainable Development Goals that were developed also within the UN, since those provide a very strong, solid base around which the full community will be mobilized, energized. So it's very important to see and to make clear that what we do in regard to internet governance fits into the Sustainable Development Goals and can serve and can be mutual benefit if we do so. We have agreed to extend the IGF, which is also, in our assessment, an excellent outcome, although the Brazilian position all through the negotiations was that we could accept the extension of not only the extension of IGF, but even to transform IGF into a permanent body. We are convinced that IGF fulfills a unique role, and we would be comfortable in making it a permanent standing body. But the extension for 10 years, we think, was also quite a good development. At the same time, the commitment towards continue to work in regard to further develop the concept of enhanced cooperation was also there. My delegation, we think it's important that we should pursue in both directions simultaneously in regard to IGF, but also in regard to have better understanding and try to operationalize further the concept of enhanced cooperation. Take into account there are different approaches and views on what enhanced cooperation is and what are the issues involved, but we think we need, as a wider community, more clarity on what we intend in that regard. So I think this brings me to make comments in regard to what is taking place here in ICANN, and I think since that this panel is taking place here, it's important to relate what we have been doing there with what is taking place here. We have been saying this, we truly value ICANN as a multi-stakeholder bottom-up entity, and in that light, it is very clear to us that the outside world looks at ICANN as a multi-stakeholder body by excellence, in which not only we discuss, we exchange views, like in IGF. I do not like to limit IGF to this because we are trying to strengthen IGF and make IGF more, its outcomes more meaningful. I think we have been working in that regard, but there is qualitatively very clear differences between what we do in IGF and what takes place in ICANN. So ICANN is a truly multi-stakeholder entity that produces results, that has decisions are made within ICANN, and we think for the outside world it's very important because that impacts what takes place in ICANN, has an impact on how the outside world perceives and values the multi-stakeholder approach. So in our view, it's important that ICANN should evolve, take into full account the framework that was provided by the WISIS, which is, again, a framework that applies to each and every instance of internet governance. Of course, we are convinced there is no one-size-fits-all solution. So in regard to what takes place in ICANN with a focus on management of internet critical resources, we are convinced that the multi-stakeholder bottom-up approach is clearly the preferred and the most suitable way to do it. That might not be the case, for example, in regard to cybercrime, cyber defense, other areas of internet governance that may require different configurations, but we are totally comfortable in working in the ambience of ICANN in that sense with the present configuration. I'm closing now. So I think, and this is the important thing that I'd like to say in that regard. And then I refer to the positions we have been holding in all those processes. We think it's important to ensure that we have, at least from the part of my delegation, that we have consistency between what we say we have said in all those processes, what we say here. So we think it's important, the very central notions that in our view emanated from WISIS is that the multi-stakeholder approach or multi-stakeholder model is the preferred and the appropriate way to deal with internet governance of any, independently of the issue, in allowing full participation of all stakeholders. As I have said, there is no one-size-fits-all. It has to be seen according to each issue how this will relate. But it's important to ensure that all stakeholders will have in place the mechanisms and the approaches to allow them to fully exercise their roles and responsibilities. And we truly hope that ICANN will continue to evolve in a direction towards that goal that we think it's totally compatible with the framework that emanated from WISIS. We think this will be totally aligned with the message that emerged from Net Mundial just 2 years ago that we're honored to host in Brazil, in which the wider community, extending beyond the ICANN community, sent that very strong message toward this process that this should lead to ICANN be evolved to become a truly organization that will be guided and crafted by the wider international community. We think what we have been doing here is a first step in that regard. We look forward to continuation working within ICANN and with you also in other foreign processes to make the vision that we have agreed back 10 years ago a reality. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Benedito. Thank you very much. I'm sure that you have questions for Benedito. I do have questions for Benedito, but I think that we should move forward and listen to the next speakers. Benedito portrayed a very good framework of what happened in the WISIS review process, and now we would like to turn to Peter Major to hear more about a particular point maybe that was present in the outcome document, which is the upcoming working group on enhanced cooperation. Peter has an extensive experience with the topic. He was chair of the first working group on enhanced cooperation that produced a very comprehensive mapping of the different organizations that are involved in internet governance and a mapping of the different understandings on the table with regards to enhanced cooperation. So Peter, what do you expect for the next phase? And if you can tell us a few words, I would like the speakers to speak for 5 minutes so we can have time for interaction with the audience. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilia. Tout d'abord, je vais continuer en français pour quelques moments.
I'll go on in French for a few minutes in order to thank the Moroccan government for the organization of ICANN 55. And I would particularly like to thank the representatives who organized the high-level government meeting, which so contributed to the success that the GAC members, that allowed the GAC members to sign the final report of the CCWG.
Marilia mentioned that the outcome document of the Visis Plus 10 gave the mandate to the CSTD to establish, or if you wish, to re-establish the working group on enhanced cooperation. Please don't ask me what is enhanced cooperation. They are real knowledgeable people who know about it. We should content ourselves that this is a kind of diplomatic expression, to me at least, to give some notion about the ICANN functions and the stewardship of the United States. So we are in a historic moment right now, to my mind, that all chartering organizations have approved the to forward the proposal of the CCWG, so to the board and from the board to NTIA, and I think this may change the basic meaning of the terms of reference of the working group on enhanced cooperation. So as has been mentioned, the idea came up in the Tunis agenda already in 2005, asking the Secretary General to start immediately consultations on these issues. Nitin Desai, who some of you might remember, was a legendary figure of the internet governance. He started the consultations in 2006, and I think he had a consultation in 2008. There was a consultation in the UN in 2010 and 12. More or less multi-stakeholder approach. And of course, there were countries who weren't satisfied with the outcomes of these consultations. So it has been decided to create a working group within the Commission on Science and Technology for Development. Probably the idea also was that after a successful working group on the improvements to the IGF, which is also in the CSTD, this commission will be able to contribute to this topic as well. As Marilia said, the working group has been established. It was a multi-stakeholder working group in the sense that we had 20 member states from the CSTD itself, members of the original WISIS process, that is Switzerland and Tunisia, and we had five representatives from each stakeholder group. Altogether, we were 42. The group itself started working, just compiling a questionnaire about the important aspects of what we thought were relevant to enhanced cooperation, and from the responses, we started to sort out the issues. What are the real issues for the enhanced cooperation? And we started what has been already referred to as a mapping exercise. That what are the existing mechanisms where these issues are being dealt with? And
of course, as a result of that, we can also identify where the gaps, what are the gaps where we should improve or we should establish something. I believe this was a very useful outcome, and I think it has been used by other fora in the internet governance ecosystem as well. But of course, we didn't have enough time to complete our work, if this work can ever be completed. Anyway, we had five meetings, and as a result of the Visits Plus 10, the working group is going to be re-established. And if you read carefully the outcome document, it is saying that we shouldn't start from scratch. So we should rely on the existing results. And I have been tasked to establish the working group. So I launched the process itself, and I made it clear that I really want to have the working group a multi-stakeholder working group, including the civil society, including technical and academia, technical community and academia, the business sector and the international organizations as well, in addition to the member states. Basically, I set out the process in the way that we will arrive to have the similar composition of the working group as we had before, which proved to be quite useful. To me, it's always the bottom line to have the trust. This is the basic thing, and I hope to build this trust among the participants of the working group. And as I said, we are not starting from scratch. We are going to rely on existing documents, so I think it's also very important to have new and old members as well. I think institutional memory is very important in this work as well. So the process itself has started. We are going to have the annual meeting of the Commission in May. I will announce the list, I think, probably by the beginning of April, and we shall have the approval of the Commission in the annual meeting, and it will be forwarded to the UN. Well, the UN is a very complicated system, so it has to be forwarded to the so-called Economic and Social Council, which will approve it by the end of July. And as I said, I think by that time it will be a bit clearer where are we with the transition. I think if the transition, and I firmly believe it will happen, then our task will be to concentrate on issues which are not related to the stewardship. So we can concentrate on issues which we have already identified, and I really hope to have a very successful outcome of this working group. We are tasked to come up with a result by the middle of 2018. That is, we have the end of 2016 and 2017 at our disposal. I plan to have about four or five meetings, and as I said, I'm, as always, optimistic about the result. So I'm ready to take questions if you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter, for sharing your experience. I'd like to pass the mic directly to Mr. Changetai Masango. Your highlights, telegraphic messages about the outcome in the IGF and the and the future for the IGF after the review.
All right, thank you very much, Marilia. Unfortunately, I'm speaking last and I'm right next to the chair, so I have to be very brief. as you all know, and as has been said by Ambassador Francesca and Peter, member states acknowledge the role of the Internet Governance Forum as a multi-stakeholder platform for discussion on the internet governance issues and extended the mandate for another 10 years. this mandate, which is set out in paragraph 72 and 78 of the Tunis Agenda. And I would like just to thank all of you, all the stakeholders, government, civil society, the business community, everybody, because this was a real community effort to have the mandate extended, not just for 5 years, which was what people were expecting, but for 10 years. I'd like to thank you all, and it just shows the importance of the internet governance discussions and the multi-stakeholder model. The member states also said that the forum should continue to show progress on the working modalities and the participation of relevant stakeholders from developing countries, and also mentioned that they supported the recommendations of the CSTD working group on IGF improvements and called for their accelerated implementation. And I'd just like to mention on that part that UNDESA and the IGF are seriously committed towards implementing these measures. And we are doing everything we can. We are encouraging developing country participation. The Secretariat has been strengthened. I've been asked by my team in Geneva to say hello to them. And I'd just like to mention their names. We have Anya Gengo, Eleonora Mizuchi, and Brian Gutterman, who are in Geneva right now, remotely participating and viewing this webcast. Just give them a hand because they've been working very hard. Thank you. And also, the IGF is also committed to incorporating the SDGs into our work, and we look forward to doing so with the next 10 years. Briefly, as you all know, we had the IGF 2015 in Brazil, and I'd like to thank the Brazilian government and the co-chair of the process, Ambassador Francesca, and also Hartmann Glaser and CGI for the incredible work they did. I think those of you who were there know that it was really the best IGF ever. And the next IGF is going to take place in Mexico, and we have our first open consultations 4 to 6 April next month, and we are still waiting for the MAG, the new MAG, to be announced, and it should be announced, if not this week, hopefully next week. And I think I'll just leave it to questions, otherwise, yeah.
Thank you very much, Angatai. I would like to open the floor for questions, but I have a difficult decision to make here because I think we're very short on time. So what I'm going to do is to pass straight to the next section on fragmentation. We will have all the questions in the end. I would just ask the speakers to be very brief so we have time to take at least some questions in the two blocks. Budrik, could you please give us an overview of your very interesting report on fragmentation?
Marilia, as I thank you, as I suggested to you on Skype, I think we should skip this section. There's no time. So why not just have the remaining speakers respond to the issues we've been discussing? Because we've got about 20 minutes left, and there's no way you can have a conversation on fragmentation and also have Q&A that covers all these other points.
Olivier?
So if I can just come in, Olivier Crepin, I'm speaking. We have 10 minutes extension, so actually we will have plenty of time.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I need to leave, so I cannot stay. So we have run over time, so that's just this, because some people were using more time than they were allocated.
So, as I say, since Patrick can't stay, and I don't think we have time to have any kind of real conversation about it, I suggest we just, the topic can be held to another time.
Well, maybe I would like to fill the room. How do you feel? Should we proceed and continue discussing with this and allocate maybe the discussion on fragmentation, which is a very interesting one? I apologize.
We can talk about it at the next meeting if we want to.
Should we leave it to the next meeting or there are protests? Are we okay? Thank you, Patrick. I apologize for that. Marilyn Cade.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I think we have a lot of new people here, and I am so thrilled to see both the colleagues who have been participating in these issues in these sessions over a long period of time, and all of the new folks. And we, even in this segment, have raised a lot of complex issues and complex topics. So perhaps we should take advantage of the opportunity, schedule the next session for a deep dive on fragmentation, give all of us a chance to read the excellent, by the way, 80-page paper. So let me go back to asking a couple of very pointed questions. But let me first confess that I was a member of the CSTD Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. And so I want to ask Peter a direct question. And I was also present in the negotiation of the Tunis language, which resulted in the phrasing about enhanced cooperation. At the time, I agree that the issues related and questions related to the IANA agreement and the unique relationship of one government to the that function probably were the main drivers around the development of the focus on an enhanced cooperation, consultation, and focus. However, in the meantime, the internet has grown from fewer than a billion users. We were about a billion users then, to 3.5 billion. And the issues and interest, both of governments widely within various agencies and of companies and of individuals and NGOs because of the importance of the internet and the online world, have evolved. And in my mind, the interest and the definition of work in enhanced cooperation must also evolve. It can no longer stay just about that one question. So, Peter, can you perhaps comment about, you know, trying to frame a little bit for the new folks in particular, and for me as an old folk, how you see the evolution of time impacting the next stage of work on enhanced cooperation?
Thank you, Marilyn. I have to admit that the original idea of enhanced cooperation has been brought up from time to time, quite regularly, claiming that governments should have equal footing in the management, not of day-to-day operation of the internet, but generally the policy issues of the internet on an equal footing. Now, I think what we have achieved here in ICANN is one of the examples of this enhanced cooperation, which assures that it's more than that, because it's not only governments, but all stakeholders seem to be on an equal footing now on these issues. So I think it gives us a big impetus to proceed with our work and to concentrate on other issues such as privacy, human rights, and multilingualism, and so on and so forth, which may be of concern to many of the stakeholders, including governments. And I believe we can be able to concentrate on these issues. And I think most of these issues have been already identified, so we have to recall what we have been doing and eventually complement it and go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. And I see that Mr. Durdu stayed with us, and I thank you for that. So please feel free to jump in anytime if you want to comment on this topic or make a connection with the fragmentation discussion that you are going to present to us. Next in the queue, please.
Hello. Renata Aquino Ribeiro, for the record, NCUC and SCG participant. I would just like to put in the CCWG Internet Governance Radar the work done by OACD, Civil Society, Constituency, CISAC. The civil society will be present in the OECD ministerial meeting in June 2016. From the declaration, which will be distributed at this meeting, there are a few objectives CISEC is pursuing, which are closely related to ICANN topics of interest. I also bring the words of OECD CISEC liaison to this session. On internet governance. Internet governance structure should reflect democratic values and be transparent and publicly accountable to users. Global internet policymaking should involve equal participation of all people, countries, and stakeholders. We call upon OECD member states to support the Internet Governance Forum and to promote the multi-stakeholder process of the World Summit on the Information Society. On open standards and net neutrality, standards-making processes should be open and should encourage competition. This promotes innovation and development. We support the procurement policies that promote open standards, open data formats, and free and open software. We further recommend that OECD member countries oppose discrimination by network providers against particular applications, devices, or content, and preserve the Internet's role in fostering innovation, economic growth and democratic communication. I'd just like to know whether the views presented here acknowledge and take into account, into actions, these efforts. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Renata. I'll give the floor to the next one in the queue, but we also have a remote hub from Pakistan that wants to connect with us. So let's go to the next in the queue and then to Pakistan. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. My name is Chennai Chair for the record, and I am with Research ICT Africa. I'm from Zimbabwe, and I work in South Africa. I am also next gen. I have a question with director to Chinkitai Masango around internet governance. You mentioned that you are encouraging developing country participation. My first question is, what exactly are the outreach strategies to encourage developing countries' participation? And is it targeted at a top level? Is it government? Is it civil society? Or is it youth? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Changetai would like to react.
Yes. Thank you very much for the question. We are targeting all stakeholders and in a couple of ways. The first way is encouraging people to attend the IGF meetings and the open consultations. If you go onto our website, under funding and under the MAG, there is some instructions on how you can apply for funding to come to attend. Also, we are encouraging the regional and national IGFs, and we're encouraging the summer schools as well to build the capacity so that people can interact better in the arena. Thank you.
Thank you, Changetai. Do we have the hub from Pakistan ready? Please go ahead. Sound in the room, please. We cannot hear you. Maybe there's a problem with the mic. So let's go to the next one in the queue and we will try Pakistan again.
Okay, I would like to speak in French. Okay, merci.
Thank you very much to all the members of the panel. My question is that given your experience, what would you say is the ideal model for the governance of the internet? I am a NextGen fellow and I attended the different sessions, so I would like to know what you think the best model for internet governance is, and specifically thinking of the sustainability of this project in different countries, would you say we need to have legal status for the local governance model, or would you say we have to follow the international model? Thank you.
That's a very interesting question. One of our speakers would like to take this question. Yeah, Ambassador, please.
Thank you. It's a difficult question because what we defend is that there is no one unique model for internet governance, and what suits in the case of ICANN, management of critical internet resources might not be the appropriate format and configuration for other issues. But I think one thing that unifies, that is a unifier in regard to different configuration model, is the basic assumptions that emanate from the WISIS meetings, that it should be multi-stakeholder in the sense that it should allow full participation of all stakeholders in their roles and responsibilities. We think that this formulation can be adjusted to different issues, different topics. So what allows full participation of all stakeholders in different roles and responsibilities within the ICANN environment entails one configuration that will be different in one that will apply, for example, to the combat of cybercrime. Just to be clear about that, in regard to cybercrime, the Council of Europe has shown us a way to address this. They developed within the Council of Europe a convention. It was developed between countries with the full support of the multi-stakeholder community. So it is an approach that is substantially different from what is taken by ICANN in regard to internet critical resources, but led to an outcome that is fully embraced by the community, by the multi-stakeholder community, even though it was not multi-stakeholder bottom-up in each operation. So this is just to demonstrate there is not one single model, there are models, but the unifier, let's say, assumption that it should fully involve stakeholders in roles and capacities, I think that this is the guiding principle for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Benedito. I would like to try Pakistan again. And after that, I don't see anyone else in the queue, so I would like to hear from the other speakers with regards to reactions from the comments that we heard before from Renata, Merlin, and others. Yes, please, Nigel.
Madam Chair, we have the question from Pakistan. We can't get the audio back.
Perfect. Go ahead.
So the question was from Saeed Mohammed Sajjad from the General Secretary of the ISOC Pakistan Islamabad chapter. It is very encouraging to see that the draft proposal, this is the Iron Transition proposal, is approved by all chartering organisations. We would like to congratulate ICANN on this. While it is a big step forwards, the Iron Stewardship Transition, we would like to ask the panel and also ICANN if, in their view, there is any backup plans if the NTIA, after their review, do not accept the proposal. There are so many man hours already put into this effort, it will be a big disappointment to see this work not succeed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nigel. I see one person in the queue, and then we'll move on and listen to the speakers.
Thank you. This is Arsène Tungali from the Democratic Republic of Congo. I would like to ask my question in French, if you don't mind.
My question is specifically addressed to Chengetai Masango. I saw that he was apparently surprised to see that the United Nations had extended the term for the WISIS and for the IGF. And so instead of 5 years, it lasted 10 years. I would like then to know why they extended it to 10 years and what the warranties that the IGF Secretariat can give the community. How can they guarantee that it will go on observing the multi-stakeholder model for 10 years? Thank you.
Chengetai, would you like to react? And then Peter.
Thank you for the question. First of all, 10 years was one of the options. Was 5 years, 10 years, or indefinitely. So we reached 10 years, and I was just trying to thank the community for that, because it couldn't have happened without the full support of the community and everybody saying that the IGF was a useful thing. So it was just my acknowledgement to the community. What guarantee can I give you that it's going to carry on with the multi-stakeholder approach for 10 years? Well, it's up to the community as well. I mean, UNDESA and the United Nations are committed to it. We will follow the wording of the Tunis agenda. It's written there, it's written in the mandate, and it's also up to the community to continue to be active in it, to continue to engage, and that's how we can all guarantee that it's going to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Changetai. Peter, would you like to react to the comments that were made before by Marilyn and others?
You mean to the comments Marilyn made?
Yeah, or your closing remarks, because I think that we are reaching the top of the hour as well.
Well, I would like to follow on what Changetai said, that probably it's a commitment of all of us to continue with the RGF in the same spirit as we have been doing it right now. And I think it gives us a good framework, what we received from the UN outcome document about the extension of the 10 years, which really shows the confidence and the usefulness of this forum. And I believe that it will continue in this way. Having said that, I just want to mention the involvement of ICANN also in the improvement of the IGF itself, and refer to the previous working group of the CSCD on these issues, and the enormous help we got from ICANN, and the example we got from ICANN about the multi-stakeholder model, and which served us quite well. So I think those fora, including IGF, ICANN, and other in the UN, kind of converge in the working methods. Of course, there are natural differences because of the setting, but I think we are on the right track. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Maybe Ambassador, would you like to say last remarks?
Thank you. When I reply to the question from the audience, I just refer to the model, but I think he also made a question in regard to domestic mechanisms. I would just recall that in our case, we have an experience of more than 20 years working with a body that is truly multi-stakeholder, that is in charge of the management of some aspects related to internet, which is the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee, and has an advisory capacity on all other issues. And 2 years ago, we have also adopted legislation we call Marco Civil, which is the, we could say, the internet civil rights legislation that was developed with very broad consultation, provides, I think, both CGI and then Marco Civil provide a very solid domestic basis for this. So it's, of course, our example is what we have done internally. This cannot be automatically replicated in other. It requires to be adjusted to each country's characteristics and culture. But those are, we are convinced that it is important to develop internally, domestically, mechanisms for that. And if I can just add in regard to the future of internet governance and the discussions we are going to have in other foreign processes beyond ICANN, I would say it is important to try to build on what we have achieved so far, on the consensus we have around some ideas, some notions that should guide us, but we should do it always in an ambience of mutual recognition, mutual respect. I'm referring to relationship basically between government and non-government stakeholders. It's important that we are in a situation in which we can all look at one another, recognize the value of participation, and be open to participation in their roles and responsibilities. We think it is important to avoid the rhetorical aspects of discussion, not to revert only to rhetoric, but to look into practical ways we can do things together. In that sense, the enhanced cooperation exercise is very important in our view, because it will allow us to identify very concretely what are the issues, what are the existing mechanisms, what should be done to improve those, if there are any gaps that we should also address, working with these
overall and very encompassing guideline in that we should promote always full participation of all stakeholders in their different roles and responsibilities. We think this is taking place in other places beyond ICANN, in other organizations that are traditionally multilateral, that are opening up for more participation from stakeholders. And it is important that those organizations that were, let's say, initially with a very strong multi-stakeholder, non-governmental participation should also allow appropriate space for government. We think it's important that this will take place in both directions simultaneously in order to allow us collectively to move ahead in regard to improvement, the overall internet governance ecosystem. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador. Mr. Durdu, would you like to share your thoughts with us?
Thank you. This is Ihsan Durdu. I've been advising the Minister of Transport and Communications of Turkey since 2005. There are several issues that have been talked about it here, but a few things, I mean, since we don't have that much time, maybe I can touch on a few issues. Yes, as Republic of Turkey, we believe in the multi-stakeholder model, bottom-to-top decision-making processes of internal governance processes. We showed our support to internet governance model by hosting IGF 2014, ninth IGF in Istanbul, and with more than 3,000 attendees. Again, I know how difficult it is, and I have to thank here our successor Brazilian colleagues for hosting the 10th and very successful one in Brazil. Let me just thank Helmut Grasser and also Ambassador Francisco on his efforts in hosting that IGF conference. Let me just talk about something else, since we couldn't really get to the point, but first I would like to also thank our Moroccan colleague for hosting this ICANN meeting and high-level delegate meeting in Marrakesh, beautiful city of Marrakesh. It is amazingly successful and enjoyable experience for all of us. Let me just talk about capacity building part of this. If you don't have internet, you don't have internet governance issues either. So it's very important for governments and the policymakers within the country to make sure that you have the right internet infrastructure. Sometimes it's overlooked by many of the developing countries. They take it as granted, but for many countries who lack resources on or commercial justification for many of those internet fiber projects to take place, it becomes quite a difficult issue, since you have to make sure that enough promotion and support for the infrastructure and for the applications are there. Maybe I can give a few examples from Turkey. We tried our best. Ministry who's in charge of internet broadband policies and ICT applications in Turkey, which is my ministry, did our best to pull all resources together to make sure that there's enough infrastructure. Right now, we have more than 12 million. The country size of population of 45 million, we have more than 12 million of fixed internet subscribers, and our mobile subscribers increased more than 72 million. And 45 million of these total subscription are in the broadband area. So we are quite proud that broadband is subscriptions increasing in Turkey. And again, we did our best to make sure that youth have the opportunity, chance to learn on how to use internet and get used to the local content. That's how we developed some major projects, like Fatih project is one of the projects that we are really quite proud of, which connects more than 600,000 classrooms all over the country, and 16 million students are affected. So we give each student a tablet computer, and we make sure that there is an interactive class board in each of the classrooms, so that the whole education content can be transferred to international electronic format, and with that also created the opportunity for the local content developers to develop educational content in Turkish. And we really paid attention to e-government applications, and we have now more than 25 million e-government users. And our e-government services numbers, well, we have close to 1,400 services of more than 200 government institutes being offered to the public now through internet. So these are all major projects that we make sure people have a good access and basic needs and utilization of this internet. If you don't, as a government of a developing country, if we don't make sure that there's enough reason for internet to be used, people, you tend to stay away from the digital revolution taking place in the world, and you risk the citizen of your country to stay away from that digital revolution. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Durdu. We are really, we have no time left, but I will pass the microphone for the concluding remarks of your...
Thank you very much. It's not a concluding remark, but just one remark regarding the issue of capacity building. I think that the capacity building is a very important part of how to bring people together, all constituencies, governments, internet users, civil society, NGOs, and others. So I think bringing people is very important, but how to ensure active participation during those forums. And then I think that the model of ICANN is a very important one, with the team engagement in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America, and other countries, other regions, has given very important results. And I would like also to underline the importance how to bring financial support for least developed countries and developing countries to attend those meetings. And ICANN has done a very good job to assist, bring more people from Africa, from Asia, and other regions to assist to Marrakesh meeting. And I would like from here to thank them for them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for being here, for your patience. I do apologize for the change of agenda today, that we did not have the time to discuss fragmentation, but I do feel that there is an interest to do it, and I hope that we can take maybe more time in the next session, in the next meeting, and dive into this topic that I do feel we have an interest from the community. But I would like to thank our speakers. think that we now have a very broad overview of the WISIS review and about details that some of us were wondering about, the continuation of the IGF, the CSTD working group. I know that there is interest from people in the community to become members. So thank you very much. I think the discussion was enlightening on this topic, and let's discuss fragmentation next time. And thank you for your patience and for your attendance.